So Ajahn, I would like to hear more about karma. I would like to know what the karma is and how it works in our daily lives. And is that every moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, there are results of karma, and only the moment of thinking there karma?
Morning, we just talk about the clinging, which clings to everything with ignorance. So at moment of wanting to hear something, is that clinging, attachment to know?
I think yes.
Is it akhanda?
Yes.
Is it adhamma?
Yes.
You know now what kind of dhamma is there when there is clinging, clinging itself. Is it a khanda? Khanda. What is a khanda? Before going to kamma, what is khanda? Is there dhamma now? Is there anything which is not dhamma now?
No.
No, all are dhammas, but different dhammas. How many kinds of dhamma? There are many, many dhammas. Everything is dhamma. So we classify them by their characteristic. How many kinds of dhamma? From 1 to 2, please.
I think there are 2 kinds of dhamma.
What are they?
I think that the reality.
It's a reality. It has its own characteristics so that you can see that it's real. Whatever is real is Dhamma, right? And there are so many Dhammas, but by differences in brief, how many kinds of Dhamma are there?
So I think there are Dhamma and Rupa.
That's it. So when there is wanting, clinging, being attached, is it a dhamma?
Yes.
What kind of dhamma?
Yes.
About just to.
With nama.
Nama. So nama clings. Nama clings to what?
To rupa.
Only.
Think so.
Pardon.
I think so.
Just only that rupa. Can clinging cling to pleasant feeling?
Yes.
And what kind of dhamma is pleasant feeling?
Nama.
Nama. So from one dhamma there are 2 kinds, nama and rupa. So when there is wanting, clinging, what kind of dhamma is there? Again and again, just the same or different, it depends on understanding. Clinging, wanting, what kind of dhamma is there?
Dhamma.
But now, is it you?
No.
What is it?
It's just a reality.
Just a reality. And when you cling very much, you want very much. That is another word we talk about this morning, upadana. Upadana. For example, what do you like now? Is there liking, attachment now?
Yes.
What is the object of that moment? When there is like, there is something which you one likes. So what is the object of attachment?
Yeah, once the temperature is hotter.
Clinging, you want it? Not cool, you like hot.
Yeah.
Okay, do you cling to what you say, it's body, my body? Do you cling to that too?
Yes.
Very, very much?
Yes.
So that is upadana. It's not like just cling to this. Right? Many, many degrees of all dharmas. And so that's why we have many, many words to represent what degree it is. For example, there is lobha, a moment of attachment, but very little, usually unknown. Because if you ask what you like, you cannot tell suddenly. So it means that it's not so great. But you have to think that even at moment of seeing, there is attachment to seeing. Who are not attached to seeing? No one. No one. And attached to seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, from head to toe, the body and everything, is not as much as this. Right? What Dharma is not khanda. Is there any nama which is not khanda? A reality which is nama but not khanda?
I still really don't understand clearly about khanda.
Actually, this morning we were discussing more about khanda. So each khanda is dharma, and most dharmas, like all the dharmas now, arise and fall away. Is that correct? Yeah. So seeing arises and falls away. Hearing arises and falls away. Attachment arises and falls away. So dharma which arises and falls away is khanda. So seeing is khanda. Hearing is khanda. What is seen, what is heard is khanda, because each one arises and falls away. All these namas and rupas we're talking about, they all arise and fall away. So Ajahn's question to you is there any dharma which is not khanda? So it means, is there any dharma that doesn't arise and fall away? Can you think of any dharma that doesn't arise and fall away that is not khanda? The one dharma doesn't arise and fall away, so only one dharma is not khanda.
Yes.
Otherwise, no one experiences it. So it has to be real, but not here and now. So, are you interested in understanding karma? Is it a reality? Is karma real?
Yes.
Is it a khanda?
Yes.
What kind of khanda? All realities which arise and falls away. A khanda, each one. So, is karma real?
Yes.
Is it a dhamma? What
yes.
kind of dhamma? Kamma. What kind of dhamma?
I think it's nama.
Yes, right. Can the body be kamma? Can the body be kamma?
No.
Can rupa be kamma?
No.
Can it be the result of kamma? This is too much because we haven't talked about it yet. We go word by word. So, as karma is real, and it's nama, is it a khanda?
Yes.
So, at moment of what you think about karma, you think about anama, right? Which is khanda. What kind of nama khanda is it? Because there are two kinds of nama khanda. What kind?
Before we mention nama khanda, you said there are those realities which are nama and those which are rupa. So two kinds of nama. What are the two kinds of nama?
There are Cheetah and Chetasika.
Cheetah and Chetasikas, right. So when we talk about Kanda, because they rise and fall away, we can say there are two kinds of Nama Kanda as well. Those Kandas which are Cheetahs and those Kandas which are Chetasikas, just the same.
So is Kanda the same as Nama?
Yes.
Kanda can be anything which arises and falls away. So each rupa is kanda, and we can say rupa kanda or rupa dhamma, as that reality which arises and experience is nama. We can say nama dhamma or nama kanda. That's the question. What nama is not kanda, only nibbana. Because nibbana does not arise, no condition to arise at all. So we talk about four ultimate or absolute realities, which are citta, cetasikas, namakanda, namadhamma, and rupa. Right? Dhamma, and then namadhamma and rupadhamma, and then three kinds, citta, cetasika, rupa. What cetasika is not kanda? What cetasika is not kanda? Try to think, everyone, please. What cetasika is not kanda? Right. No, never, because cetasika arises and falls away. No matter what kind of cetasika is that, it must be kanda.
What did you say?
No.
Otherwise, before we go on and on, more confusion if there is no precise understanding and perfect understanding, because Dhamma cannot be changed at all. Buddha has enlightened the truth, the ultimate truth of it. So nothing can be changed after his enlightenment. What he taught must be from eons ago until today and tomorrow, on and on and on. So now you think about karma. What is it? Again, tell about karma as much as you know before we can know more about karma. What is karma?
Citta, cetasika, rupa, or none of them?
I'm still confused.
What is the difference between citta and cetasika? Is there any difference? So we cannot talk about other things before we understand clearly about the basic point.
I think it's because we haven't really considered the point before. So whatever we are talking about, actually, it must be reality. So if we're talking about karma, or we're talking about the Noble Truths, or we're talking about the Eightfold Path, or anything, it must be about realities. Is that correct? And you mentioned before that some realities are the result of karma, such as seeing and hearing and smelling, and also you said some rupas are the result of karma. Why some are male and some are female? Because of different rupas conditioned by karma. Is that correct? So there must be a reality, a dhamma, which is karma. So it's not karma like people talk about in daily ordinary language, but now to be precise, it has to be reality. So it has to be either nama or rupa. And if we're talking about karma, it has to be that reality which can experience in order to bring results. So what kind of dharma, what kind of reality is karma? Is it nama or is it rupa? Must be nama. Okay. Is it feeling? Can feeling be karma? Or memory? Or actually, we know that at each moment there is one citta, and citta is the leader in experiencing the object, and each citta has to arise with many chetasikas. Is that correct? And each chetasika has its own function or its own task. I think we talked before about a football team. I remember chatting to you. So feeling feels, and another one, memory remembers, and concentration focuses. And there is another chetasika that arises at every moment in life that coordinates the other chetasikas to experience an object. And this one is karma. So at every moment in life, there is karma that coordinates the other chetasikas, I know, to experience the object. And this chetasika, which is karma, it is called chetana, which arises at each moment. So is chetana namakanda or rupakanda?
Namakanda.
And can it arise on its own, or does it have to arise with citta?
It has to arise with citta.
And does it need the support of other citta seekers, or can there just be one citta and one citta seeker?
It has to be support.
There have to be at least seven citta seekers arising to support the citta to experience the object, each one with its own task or job. So the task of chetana or karma is to coordinate, to make sure all the other citta seekers are performing their tasks and that the citta is experiencing the object. So at each moment in life there is chetana or karma. This is the first point to understand.
Sarah, can I just interrupt you? But these things are sort of hypothetical. It's a sort of pariyatiya studying, isn't it? So we are talking about five khandhas, and we know these sort of cheta, sika, cheta, and rupa. But these things are the level of studying. But for those who do not experience any reality as reality, how can you say that these are real?
Bit like from the beginning when we're talking about seeing and what is seen, and we start to say there are just these different namas and rupas and no one is there. In the beginning, like when we chatted to Tao this morning, it's a little bit shocking because it doesn't seem to be what is our daily experience. So we have to hear about it and consider so that gradually it makes more and more sense that actually how could there be pleasant feeling now or unpleasant feeling if feeling weren't feeling the object? How could there be focusing on one object at a time if there wasn't concentration? So gradually we get used to hearing about the nature of realities little bit by little bit. So we're leading up to hearing about karma that can bring results. But first of all, we have to really understand that there are these different realities at each moment. Otherwise, if we just hear about some details about karma, for sure it will be the idea of someone and my results, and it won't be the understanding of dharmas. So that's why the theory or the study has to begin from the very beginning, understanding about those realities, experience, and those which don't, and beginning to learn that karma is not what we're used to thinking about. Like people think, oh, I do a good job and now I'm staying in a pleasant place and this is result. But we're beginning to learn in life that there are just dharmas at each moment. And so if there is karma now, it has to be a reality, not our usual idea.
Example of upadana kandaya. Is it clinging to kanda or five aggregates? Upadana kanda.
This is why this morning Ajahn was talking about what is kanda and now. So seeing now is kanda, hearing is kanda. Each reality that rises and falls away is kanda. And when there is clinging to reality, clinging to seeing or clinging to a taste, not just the little bit of attachment, but when there's really clinging to what is tasted strong, that is upadana kanda, just at that moment.
Cling to seeing, we cling to seeing visual object. We cling to concept all the time. Five khandhas doesn't appear.
But if there was no concept about reality, if there was no reality, there would be no clinging to it.
Yeah.
So it's the clinging to an idea of reality.
Yeah.
But actually, if there was no seeing, there would be no clinging to an idea of it.
Yeah.
So clinging can cling to the reality.
But you can see my point too, because we always cling to everything we cling to or dislike, or just concept.
Seeing experiences pleasant or unpleasant visible object. And because of that experience, there is clinging.
We take everything for self. We experience something.
That's right. Yeah.
When we experience something, it's not reality, it's concept.
Sorry, when seeing experiences visible object, it's a reality, pleasant or unpleasant. When taste experiences a pleasant taste, it's a reality.
The level of study, it's these things do not appear. Five khandhas do not appear as five khandhas. The problem for us is they appear as a group, as a part of self.
They are taken for self, but before there is attachment to pleasant taste, there has to be the experience of pleasant taste. Right? And although we may not be able to separate the moment of experiencing pleasant object through the tongue door from the moment of liking it, which comes subsequently. But we have the description given by the Buddha that there is an order of things. So that is the basis on which we are proceeding.
Yeah.
And if there were no actual experience of pleasant taste, the attachment to it would not have accumulated. So we like particular objects because of previous experience of actual reality, not because of concept.
And also you said yesterday that there is attachment in the sense door processes before knowing what the object is, before having any concept.
It requires very high level of panya.
So in the sense objects, this is his point, it's usually the subtle attachment, not the upadana, the...
But if we didn't hear first about different realities, of course, there'd be no way of coming to understand about them. So obviously the pariyatti, we know, has to precede the paribhatti.
Yeah. The point I'd like to say is that when you say just these are everything's five khandhas, then that statement requires somebody or us to see each reality as reality without seeing each reality.
I don't think so.
How can we say that
we realize that is the teaching of the Buddha. That's all. And so we can ask ourselves whether that is consistent with our experience or not. Is there anything appearing now that is not one of the five khandhas as we understand them to be? That's all. It doesn't mean we assert as a matter of our own experience.
We have a firm assumption that everything is five khandhas.
This morning we're talking about what is reality now, like, and it was agreed seeing is real. What is seen is real, but cup or table is a concept, an idea. So actually it can be tested now, what is real. Feeling is real, but a happy person is an idea. So that which is real now, feeling or hearing or sound, which can be shown or understood to be real now, that which is real and arises and falls away is khanda. So there are nama khandas and rupa khandas, because we haven't talked about five different ones, but each reality that arises and falls away is khanda. So actually, if we bring it back to this moment, khanda back to this moment, touching is khanda, hardness is khanda. So actually, there can be the beginning to prove that it's correct, that what is real is either nama or rupa, but self or person is just an idea. So that which is real is khanda. It's just one more word referring to those realities that arise and fall away. And we learn there is the reality that doesn't arise and fall away, nibbana, but we don't need to talk about
it. Okay, so you are emphasizing on the level of pariyatti, level of study, which to go up to the level of
begin with the pariyatti, the right study now, and it has to be about this moment to really begin to make sense that this isn't just an idea in a book, but it really is about this moment. And it's only through that study or beginning to understand about these realities now that study or understanding is can really be firm. Like this morning when Ajahn was asking people, they were saying, well, yes, no, it's not firm. So it has to be really firm understanding to really know what is nama and what is rupa. This is the very beginning.
Awareness, sanya, yeah? Just sanya, yeah? Sanya, yeah? Yeah. At that time, can we say that one is seeing not only sanya, but five khandhas as well?
For any newcomers, refers to memory. So at each moment of life, there is memory. We talked about it yesterday. So at this moment of seeing, there has to be memory marking the object that is seen. Each moment of hearing, there's memory. So now beginning to understand what is memory at this moment. Is it a nama dhamma or rupa dhamma? Nama dhamma. And is it khanda?
Yes.
So it's nama dhamma and it's khanda. So at the beginning of understanding that it's just a reality, does it arise and fall away? So this is the beginning of studying the reality of sanya or memory at this moment and beginning to understand it as khanda, one khanda at this moment. Because when you talk about five, but actually each reality is khanda, we can group them in different ways. We can talk about those khandas which are rupa and call them rupa khanda. We can talk about those which are just sanya and so on. But each reality that arises and falls away is khanda. So by beginning to understand that sanya is just a reality, a nama, not self, this is the beginning of understanding sanya khanda at this moment.
Okay, so I'd like to repeat what you've said. So if there is awareness of, say, sanya, yeah? Sanya, yeah? Then at that time, one is seeing five khandhas as five khandhas. So it need not be aware of every five chittasikas and all these chittas, 84 chittas and rupas.
I think we learn about the different ways that dhammas are classified, or the Buddha taught about the different ways that dhammas are classified, not only khandhas, but also dhatus, ayatanas, and so forth. And each classification is helpful for understanding the nature and characteristic of dhammas. But when there's awareness of any dhamma, is it necessary to think of it as it's such and such khanda, such and such dhatu, such and such ayatana? That would be thinking.
It's my point. Then how can we see five khandhas as five khandhas?
Understanding a little bit more about sanya, like now Nama's understanding a little bit more about sanya. So this is the understanding of sanya khanda. At that moment, there's no understanding of rupa khanda because there's no consideration of rupa khanda. But gradually, beginning to understand about different namas and different rupas, different realities, this is the way that gradually there is more and more understanding developed at this moment about the different realities in life. But if we're considering about sanya or understanding sanya khanda, no need to think about other khandhas. So this is why it has to be one at a time, one word at a time.
But the point I'd like to make is that it's not easy to see five khandhas as five khandhas because we live mostly in the world of concepts.
No one's talking about seeing five khandhas as five khandhas. The classification of khandhas is just to help us understand more about individual dhammas. If awareness arises, it takes a single dhamma, that's all.
We understand about realities. The rupa cannot experience anything. It arises and falls away. So whatever arises is a khanda, not all together a khanda. Each one is a khanda.
Okay, go ahead. Each reality is khanda. No, sorry, so each reality is each reality. And then
each reality is a khanda.
Each reality is from one khanda or the other. Because khanda is a way of classifying all realities.
It's a khanda.
Which arises and falls away, and sanya arises and falls away. So sanya is sanya khanda.
Yes.
And panya arises and falls away, so panya is khanda. Khanda. Panya is a khanda, yes, because it arises and falls away. So we have to understand clearly whatever arises can be the past, present, and future. And that's the meaning of khanda, a khanda.
Khanda of reality.
A reality arises and falls away. A khanda arises and falls away.
So khanda is...
Microphone, please.
Khanda is totally free from concept, yeah?
Each rupa is rupa khanda. Each visible object, each sound is rupa khanda. Each sanya that arises is sanya khanda. Each feeling, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neutral feeling, feeling that arose yesterday, feeling in the future, strong feeling, light feeling, near feeling, far feeling, whatever feeling, each one is feeling khanda and so on. So it has each reality. So nothing whatsoever to do with concept. So when we're talking about upadana khanda, it is the reality which is the object of clinging that is being referred to.
In a sense, it's a clinging to five khanda.
one at a time. If there is clinging to visible object, there cannot be clinging to sound or feeling at the same time. So only when the reality is the object of clinging, it's upadana khanda. Like now, if there's no clinging to hardness, then hardness is not upadana khanda. It is khanda at any moment when hardness arises. Even the hardness that is not touched, as soon as it arises, it's khanda because it's a reality that arises and falls away. But if there is no clinging to that hardness, it's not upadana khanda.
Okay, so when there is awareness of a reality, yeah, we can also say that there is, at that moment, there is a awareness of five khanda.
Five khandas? Why would awareness of one reality be awareness of five?
Kunsujin said that when there is awareness, it's awareness of five khandas.
One by one.
Okay, then how about Chetasika? Chetasika, how about when there is awareness of Chetana? Yeah?
Like now, if there is understanding of hardness, at that moment of understanding, at the moment when it's clear that it is hardness that is touched, at that moment of hardness, there must be awareness at that moment. But it's only aware of hardness, not of visible object, not of seeing, not of attachment, only of hardness, one reality at that moment. So it's only aware of hardness, rupa khanda, at that moment.
Rupa khanda.
Khanda.
Rupa as well as rupa khanda.
Rupa, each rupa that arises and falls away is rupa khanda. One, each one is rupa khanda, or rupa khanda.
Just in one moment. It's not possible to be a of five khandas.
No.
No. Ah, gotcha.
Moment. How many khandas are there?
Like any given moment now?
Any given moment, it should be just one khanda. It's
Nam explained. So Nam, can chetasika arise without citta?
No.
And when each citta arises, what are the minimum number of chetasikas that must arise with it?
7.
Minimum 7. At each moment when citta arises, does there have to be feeling at each moment? Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, or neutral feeling? Is feeling a chetasika that arises at every moment?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, so there's feeling at each moment. So there is always at every moment in life, there must be a citta khanda, and there must be a feeling khanda, and there must be, I just mentioned another one, memory at each moment. There must be a memory khanda, and then another 5 chetasikas, including the one that I mentioned, a chetana, a karma. So there must be.
So, when,
so there must be many khandas
okay,
arising
so when
together.
There is a moment of awareness, yeah, of say sanya, yeah. Then you are talking of a combination of minimum combination.
No. Okay, so this is actually a really important point to get clear. So at each moment on life, there must be one citta arising with minimum 7 chetasikas. But that citta and all those chetasikas that arise together experience one object. For example, at a moment of seeing arises with 7 chetasikas, but it only experiences one object, visible object. So if there is a moment of understanding arising with citta, many chetasikas arising together with the citta, but only one object. So whether that object is hardness, or whether it is clinging, or whether it is pleasant feeling, only one reality is the object.
One reality.
Which reality is that?
Well, whatever reality is taken, but the point is that other realities are arising together with the moment of awareness. Because that was the question.
So you call that khanda?
Every Dhamma.
No. So just go back to Sarah's example. Just be aware when there's awareness of seeing. Then and there.
Let's say there is understanding of seeing now. Nam is seeing nama or rupa. I just want to keep bringing back the basic. Is seeing now, seeing consciousness, is it nama or rupa?
It's nama.
It's nama. Can there be understanding of seeing?
Yes.
Yes. So at the moment of understanding, what is the leader in experiencing the object? That's a confusing question. There must be citta at that moment, right? And there must be many citta seekers. After the seven, there must be understanding and many more wholesome citta seekers. And they experience just the seeing consciousness. So the citta is a khanda. Each citta seeker that arises with it is a khanda.
Yeah.
And they experience, there's awareness or understanding of seeing,
yeah,
and that is a khanda.
Yeah.
So many khandas arise, and there is awareness of seeing, which is a khanda.
Okay, so you are treating the whole process as very dynamic. In each moment of rising of citta, then there would be finite at each time. Combination differs. Combination of pa and citta and citta sikas. And then you are calling each sort of combination as khanda.
Well, as we have said this morning, as Ajahn has been stressing, each reality that arises and falls away is khanda, is a khanda. That is the meaning of khanda.
Is there any reality right now?
Yeah.
If it does not arise, can there be such reality appearing?
No.
So, khanda is that which arises and falls away. But there are so many realities.
Yeah.
Each one is khanda when it arises and falls away. Only nibbana has no condition, so it does not arise.
Yeah.
So all dhammas, which are conditioned to arise, must be khandas.
Yeah.
And when you have heard the word five khandas, one, everything is Dhamma, and Dhamma can be classified by the nature as that which cannot experience is rupa, right? Is rupa khanda? Yes. Yeah. Is hardness khanda?
Just as rupa is khanda in terms of the...
What is the meaning of khanda? That which arises and falls away.
Now, it's rupa doesn't arise...
Rupa arises.
No. Rupa doesn't arise by itself. It's arises it as matter. A unit.
It doesn't matter at all. Just talk about that which arises. We don't talk about anything, but that which appears now has to arise. Okay? Is it Dhamma?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, is it that which cannot experience at all? That is rupa. We can call anything. Name it as that which cannot experience as rupa. Is rupa dhamma. So we can use the word rupa dhamma, right?
Okay.
And is rupa khanda?
I know think rupa,
whatever arises, keep in one's
just
mind.
Sec, rupa doesn't arise
because
by itself. There must be nama.
If we just talk about Dhamma, we don't know what is what. That's why we have to know its nature, which is different, like that which arises but cannot experience. Is it real? Is a reality? Is a Dhamma?
Yeah.
And whatever arises is khanda. In order to explain more about Dhamma, that how many differences between each one, by way of Khanda, by way of Tattu, by way of Riyasaccha, by way of Ayatana. So many ways just to understand reality as no self.
Yeah, it's very clear to me. Just a moment ago.
Okay, little by little.
Yeah.
So it's that which cannot experience Dhamma. Is that which arises and falls away, Khanda?
If you'd like call it
because,
Khanda, it's called
because
Khanda.
You see that whatever what appears now arises and falls away in split seconds.
Yeah.
That which arises is a Khanda, so that we can know how many Khandas are there, because they're so very short.
Okay, when there's moment of seeing, yeah? Okay, chakra, vinyana, yeah?
We don't talk about that yet. Just talk about the basic to understand what Dhamma is.
Yeah.
Dhamma is that which is real, because it's seen, it's heard, and it experiences. So there are so many numerous uncountable Dhamma. Whatever arises and falls away, never to return.
Yeah.
So how can we count each one? That's why we use the term Rupa Khanda, whatever in the past, present, future.
Specific moment, yeah?
And what about now? It's gone. So it's past. So that which arises must be past, present, and that will come is future. So Dhamma, which arises, is conditioned reality, but they are different. Hardness is not sweet. So sweetness is a reality, and hardness is a reality. Sweet arises and hard arises, so but they are not the same. So they are different ones. So each one is a Khanda because it arises. It's just the explanation, the nature of a Dhamma. Some arises and experience, and some arises but cannot experience.
Okay, just a sec. That is clear. But when there is a sort of five Khanda...
Not yet. We talked about just the word Khanda.
Okay, Khanda. Okay. Rupa Khanda.
No, just Khanda first.
Okay.
Dhamma. Each conditioned Dhamma arise.
Yeah.
So each one is a Khanda because they're different.
Yeah.
Is sound a Khanda? Is softness a Khanda?
Yeah.
Is what is seen now is a Khanda? By that way, they are all cannot experience anything.
Yeah.
So we name it Rupa Khanda, whatever it is.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that it's a group, but it's each one. Arises and falls away. Can never be the same.
They sound like group.
No, we just group it in order to remember that this is the group of Rupa. We are talking about Rupa.
Yeah. But Rupa doesn't have, 28 Rupas doesn't appear by themselves.
It does to mean that this is not Khanda, and when everything comes together, it is Rupa Khanda. It's not like that. Each one.
Yeah.
Whatever arises and falls away so very fast. So, no doubt about Rupa Khanda.
Yeah.
And that which arises but cannot experience anything at all. Different from that.
Yeah.
So we name it differently.
Yeah.
We name it Nama Khanda.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
From one Dhamma to two kinds, Nama and Rupa.
Yeah.
And for Nama, there are two kinds of Nama. One is the leader, which now sees, it just see. It cannot like or dislike. So seeing, is it a Khanda?
Yeah, it must be.
It must be because it arises.
With the
no, just talk about seeing. Seeing cannot
just,
be
just okay.
Seeing
yes.
must be citta, the leader. So all citta.
Okay, must be.
It doesn't matter. We are just talking about one by one in order to really understand it clearly.
Okay.
Never forget it again.
Yeah, okay. It's my problem.
Okay. Citta. is the word we use for that which is the faculty or the head or the chief or the leader, which just perform its function only.
Yeah.
Seeing can see only.
Yeah.
It cannot think, it cannot like.
Yeah.
It, so, seeing is what kind of khanda? What kind of khanda?
Seeing is vijnana khanda.
Right. Because it's citta. And with there are five khandas, citta can be used for vijnana. Or we can use vijnana for citta. So now, seeing is one khanda.
Yeah.
But seeing cannot arise alone. What are conditions for seeing to arise?
I think in this case it's visual object is the one condition.
Only one. What kind of reality is that which is seen?
What kind of reality?
It can see only visible object.
Visual object.
Is visible object khanda?
Yeah, khanda.
And seeing is?
Kanya, khanda.
And visible object is rupa khanda.
Yeah.
And seeing is nama khanda.
Yeah.
And whenever citta arises, it arises with what?
Seven cetasika.
Seven cetasika. One by one, please. It's, so it, understanding is not in the computer.
I don't remember all these names. Yeah, Tanya is...
No. Let him think. Yeah. Seven cetasika. What is the first number of cetasika? Very important. Like it's in the book, no need, because it should be in one's own understanding without book. To understand is better than remember. Please.
So far, we have the full understanding of khanda. Based on the definition that khanda is what?
Based on its characteristic, its nature.
No, based on the definition.
Without nature, characteristic, no definition.
Because we've learned that khanda is what arises and falls away.
And now it arises and falls away, not in the
right. Book. And we have the full understanding of what you have explained. But I have, my question is that, can the word khanda be translated as aggregate in this case?
I don't know the word aggregate mean. I don't know the Vietnamese word. I don't know any language. But in my own language, or that language that you or anyone can understand, we use the word that which arises and falls away, better than just it's an aggregate.
No, because just because that gentleman that just said that there are five aggregates.
Because usually in the old days people study from book, but interpret on one's own way. So it's remembered as five aggregates.
Okay, so we will not be confused if we stick to the definition. Khanda is what arises and falls away.
To the characteristic of reality, to the nature of it. Yeah. For example, does seeing arise to see?
Yeah.
Does it fall away?
Yeah.
So that which arises and falls away can be used the word khanda to differentiate it from that which does not arise and not fall away at all. So, is hardness a khanda?
Yes, hardness is khanda.
No definition?
Yeah, no need.
No aggregate. See? By understanding, I think that it's anyone can understand. But it's not as clear when we just read without understanding. We remember citta, cetasika, paramada dhamma. But there should be more and deep. And deeper understanding. Because even we talk about citta as that which arises and falls away, no experiencing of it yet. But we know that it's real and it's not self. Just begin to understand that all are dhammas, which means no self. no one in it. Otherwise, there must be clinging, thinking all the time to everything and something. But what's meant by the enlightenment of the Buddha? He enlightened the truth, the absolute truth of everything, much more than what he taught. Because he knows who can understand what level, from what word. That's why there's the word Dhamma and the word Khanda and the word Tattu and the word Ariyasatta. All of these are Dhamma. But we have to learn to understand where is Dhamma. Otherwise, it's in the book. But it's not in the book.
It's here.
On the computer.
Okay, so thank you for explaining.
You are emphasizing the significance of so-called universal or Sadhachitta or Sadharana.
Not in the computer. Just talk about now, reality now. Yeah, there are two kinds of realities: rupa khanda or rupa dhamma, nama khanda, and citta and cittasikas are what kind of dhamma?
Nama.
Nama. Is citta and nama khanda? Nama khanda.
Yeah, vedana khanda.
Citta itself is nama khanda, right?
Yeah.
And cetasika is a cetasika khanda.
Yeah, it depends. Sort of depends, but we can say that among 52, two are individual, independent
khanda. Don't think of the number. Just understand that now there is a reality which arises and falls away.
Yes.
Not in the book, now.
Oh, okay. It's what I have to do. Okay.
What arises now?
Sorry, concept arises.
Not concept yet. If there is no realities, there can never be concept.
I don't see realities.
Can there be concept without reality?
Chittas and chetasikas. Oh, chetasikas, it's not difficult to see. Sort of.
But if there is no understanding clearly about each word, it's impossible to understand the other words at all. It has to be from one word to another word to another word. When you have heard about Dhamma, now you know everything which is real. It has its own characteristic. And when you hear the word Rupa, you know it means that which arises but cannot experience anything. And when you hear the word Nama, it's that reality which arises and experience, but there are many, many kinds of each.
Sorry, all these things are at the level of study or pariyatti for me. Things do not appear as they are.
When nothing arises at all, is there any world? Is there a world?
World of concept, where I live.
No. Nothing. Oh. Nothing means no nama, no rupa, no dhamma. No concept.
Yeah.
But when something arises, it's the world.
No, concept arises because of realities.
What is
if
concept?
If there were no realities, there is no way for concept to appear.
What is concept?
No.
Arises?
If we only
appear to my mind.
If we only talked about things that we thought we knew about already, would never learn anything about the things that might be real but which are not experienced. Is that not right? Isn't it useful to talk about the way things are as understood by the Buddha?
Yeah.
So when you say this is all pariyatti,
I'm not denying that there are no realities. It's not what I'm saying.
Right.
What I'm saying that is to see reality as they are.
We cannot expect to see all realities as they are, but we have to understand them at an intellectual level first.
Aiming at moving towards to the intellectual level, to the practice level.
Well, you might want to move more quickly than is possible.
So, hardness now, it arises and falls away, it's reality. The idea, like the idea of Nam sitting over here, it's just that which is thought about. So it doesn't arise and it doesn't fall away because it's just thought about. So even now, there can be an understanding of the difference between hardness, which is real, and numb, which is just an idea that's thought about. So only realities arise and fall away. And if visible object arises, like you say, it has to be supported by other rupas that arise together, even though they're not experienced. It doesn't matter. Each one is khanda, even though only one is experienced. At a moment of seeing, only visible object is seen. So visible object is khanda. And just because there are other rupas also arising and falling away, each one is khanda, but only one khanda can be experienced at a time.
Doesn't it arise by itself?
No, that's what I'm saying. It arises, so just like citta has to arise with other citta seekers, so each rupa has to arise with other rupas, even though only one can be experienced at a time.
Because you keep saying that visible object doesn't arise by itself, but that is pariyatti. Yeah. You only know that because you've read about it. So what's the point there?
The point is just ignore the notion of I. The point is how can move from the level of pariyatti to patipatti?
Well, it can only happen if the pariyatti is correct in the first place. And if the pariyatti is correct, then the patipatti will be conditioned at the appropriate time. That's all.
Go hand in hand. Just pariyatti and patipatti, they go hand in hand. We cannot expect everyone to have the perfect knowledge of realities from the beginning, and then tell him.
That's right. No one is saying that.
Then you can start the practice.
No one is saying that, but the practice, the paripatti, cannot begin without the pariyatti. We all agree about that, right? Right.
Yeah.
So that's where we're beginning.
Exactly.
Right.
What I'm trying to understand.
Nam has never heard that at a moment of touching, it's only hardness or only temperature that is experienced, like this morning, only coolness, no air conditioner. If there was never the considering that actually it's only hardness or temperature or motion experienced, there could never be a deeper understanding, because this is like the basic understanding, beginning to understand the difference between reality and concept, beginning to understand the difference between the truth and the fantasy. So that's how it develops. And getting back to karma a little bit, at each moment there is citta and minimum how many citta seekers? And they are all what kind of khanda?
Can you repeat? Sorry.
And each one is what kind of reality? Each citta, each citta seeker, are they nama or rupa?
Nama.
Each one is nama, sure? Sure. So citta is nama, and each of those citta seekers is nama, and one of those citta seekers is chetana. We can translate it as intention or karma, and it assists the other citta seekers and the citta to perform its job at each moment of life. Is that okay? And you said before that some cheetahs, like seeing and hearing, are result of karma. Is that what you said? Yes. So seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching are a result of karma. And other kind of cheetahs, what other kind of cheetahs are there which are not result?
Not these.
For example, at a moment of kindness or at a moment of anger, do the kindness or anger arise with the result cheetahs or with another kind of cheetah?
Don't know yet.
No. Okay, so the result cheetahs, like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, these result cheetahs, they just experience visible object or sound. And at that moment, because their result, good and they're not bad. They're not wholesome and not unwholesome because they're just result. So there have to be other cheetahs which are good or bad, wholesome or unwholesome. So after seeing or after hearing, there have to be those cheetahs which are wholesome, we can call them kusala, or unwholesome, akusala. Have you heard of kusala and akusala cheetahs?
Yes.
Yes. Can you give me an example of kusala cheetah-seeker that arises with the kusala cheetah?
That's metta.
Metta. So metta is a wholesome cheetah-seeker that arises with cheetah, right?
Yes.
And why is it wholesome?
Because it's good.
It's good. At that moment, there's no clinging, no attachment, there's no aversion, no anger, and no ignorance. And it has wholesome roots. There is non-attachment, non-aversion, and kindness, and many more wholesome cheetah-seekers. So it's good. Can you give me an example of unwholesome cheetah-seeker, akusala cheetah-seeker, that arises with an akusala cheetah?
Lobha.
Lobha. So if it's a cheetah with lobha, it's unwholesome. And with these kusala cheetahs and akusala cheetahs, how many cheetah seekers are there at least? Anyway, you know that there are seven and then many more. That's enough, okay? And one of those seven that must arise, because we agreed it arises at every moment, is chetana. So at each moment of life, at each moment of kusala, at each moment of akusala, there must be karma, there must be chetana, still coordinating or assisting the other cheetah seekers and the cheetah to experience an object. And sometimes that lobha is just a little bit white, maybe like the color just a little bit. Sometimes it's stronger, as Ajahn said, and then it's upadana when it's really clinging, really wanting to have that delicious food, more than just a little bit. And sometimes that clinging can be so strong that one does something really bad, like maybe one takes something out of the shop or one does something that really hurts other people. And when it's really bad clinging and it does something to hurt others, then it can bring results later. The chetana, the karma, brings a result later. And the opposite, if it's good, like you said, when there's metta, it's wholesome. So sometimes it's just a little bit of kindness. Maybe you just have a kind thought about your friend, but you don't do anything. And sometimes the kindness is stronger and you really go to quite a lot of trouble to help your friend with metta. And when it's stronger metta, the chetana, the karma, is also stronger and it can bring results in future. Is it a little bit clearer?
Yes, thank you.
So karma is the reality chetana and it only brings results when it arises with kusala or akusala cheetahs of a degree that can bring results. So the best kind of kusala of all, do you know what the best kind of kusala is? Panya. So when there is panya, and the stronger the panya, of course, the better, then it brings results, very good results. The chaitana, the karma that arises with it, brings results in future. I think we're talking about there are just different realities. So at that moment, the chaitana is kanda, the panya is kanda, the clinging is kanda, the dosa is kanda, the feeling is kanda. Whatever we're talking about are just different dharmas, different kandas that arise and fall away, that don't last for a moment. But some kandas are cause and some are result.
Which
realities are the result of karma?
It's my question.
My question to you is, what are the results of karma?
It depends, like vedana, it can be a vipaka.
Yeah. So, namas, there can be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and all the citta seekers that arise together with them are all results of karma. The consciousness during sleep, the deep sleep consciousness, birth, death, these are all results of karma and the citta seekers that arise together with them. And what about rupas? What about rupas that are conditioned by karma? Like the eye sense, the ear sense, the body sense, these are all result of karma.
Could you please explain more about why the eye sense, the nose sense, the ear sense is the result of the karma? Is it karma is the new word for me? Is it the intention?
So actually it's new for us all, because the sort of conventional idea of karma is a little, now we're being very precise and talking about the reality. So karma is the reality of chaitana, which is intention, or the citta seeker that coordinates, and when it arises with wholesome or unwholesome cheetahs, it can bring results. And so at the first moment of life as a human, it is actually the result of kusala karma, life as a human. So the very first moment, the birth consciousness, is a result of karma. And at that moment, there are three groups of rupas. So there has to be the body sense already, which is a result of karma, the sex, the male or the female rupa, and heart base at that moment. And then other groups of rupa are conditioned later, like eye sense, ear sense, and so on. Now, some people from the very first moment of life, I mean like the first moment of conception, no eye sense or no ear sense, because no result of karma, no good result of karma. So they are born blind or deaf from the first moment. But for us, at each moment in life, eye sense is arising and falling away, because we discussed how all realities apart from Nibbana rise and fall away. So eye sense is arising and falling away all the time. Ear sense is arising and falling away all the time. It's not conditioned by my wish. It's conditioned by past karma. The same karma that produced the birth and that eye sense and ear sense throughout life.
One thing I'd like to clarify, that is vedana associated with the patisandhi, yeah? And that could be somanasa vedana, yeah? Feeling, yeah? And then if one is born with indifferent feeling, yeah? Does that person is always suffer from some kind of sort of illness or disability?
I think that's another point. So the birth consciousness and the feeling that arises is one thing, and the illness or the disability in life can be conditioned by other kinds of karma, or it can be conditioned by other causes, because the rupas in the body are not just conditioned by karma, but they can also be conditioned by nutriment. That's why we have to eat. If we don't eat, then we get sick. And also by temperature, if we get too cold, we get sore throats and we get sick. And then another cause of the rupas of the body is citta. If we're very happy, it affects the rupas of the body. If we're very miserable, it affects the rupas of the body. So not just karma that can condition sickness.
No, the question is the function of vedana, associated vedana determines or not whether a given individual suffer from some kind of disability or not.
I think this is getting away a bit from her question about karma. It's a very fine detail.
Question.
I don't think that the cause of sickness during life is whether it is pleasant feeling or neutral feeling that arises with the birth consciousness at that first moment.
Can I continue? Yes. Regarding the birth consciousness, you just mentioned about the word past karma. Can you please clarify more about that? Past karma is like, it's not now anymore.
So from past life, actually the last moments of the previous life, the wholesome or unwholesome cittas and the chetana that arises with them is actually the cause or the condition for the birth consciousness of this life and all the other, if I say bhavanga cittas, you won't know what I'm talking about, other kinds of cittas which are like Patisandhi citta, which are the result of karma that arise throughout life. So they depend on karma from the past life, and that karma depended on other karmas from the past that has been collected together at that moment.
So only karma from the past can condition result in the present moment. There cannot be both karma and result in the present moment. So that's why we talk about past karma. When we say in the past, it can mean the near past or the distant past. We don't distinguish. Birth in this lifetime, as Sarah said, is conditioned by karma from the past. So obviously that karma would have to be
very
more distant.
Distant
past. So life goes on like this. Karma in the past, result in the present, wholesome or unwholesome deeds, as a result of the experiencing of pleasant or unpleasant results, and more karma, wholesome or unwholesome karma, committed again, on and on like that.
Thank you.
We can think of karma as deeds done in the past, wholesome or unwholesome deeds, like kindness of helping another person or taking someone else's property, obviously unwholesome karma. But the actual dhamma, that is the karma, is the intention that accompanies the deed. A deed can be by body, by speech, or by mind. For example, harsh speech is unwholesome karma. Different from taking someone's property, that's by body. So there are different kinds. But the essence in all cases is the intention that accompanies the deed of body, speech, or mind. So when people talk about karma being good and bad deeds, that is one way of thinking of it, but the absolute reality is the intention that accompanies the deed of body, speech, or mind.
Well, Jonathan, Devaloka is one type of sagati. Yeah? There are four sagati, and one is Devaloka. Why do you call Devaloka a sort of a result of good karma? What kind of life do they have in heaven? I wonder. I often wonder whether it's a really favorable place or not. Is it favorable?
The objects are pleasant by nature. What is seen is pleasant by nature. What is felt and touched, yes.
It depends on, yeah? Okay. Okay, objects are generally pleasant.
That's what we mean when we say wholesome vipaka, kusala vipaka, means the experiencing of an object that is pleasant by nature.
Yeah.
Not one that is desirable to us, but one that is by nature pleasant.
Ah, they are not, we cannot say they all, the experience is desirable.
Well, it may not be what we want to see and hear, but yeah, it is by nature pleasant. So if we want to see one color, but we end up seeing another, for example, or then
I think these things in conventional terms, whether they work or whether they do any sports, or probably there is no internet. The kind of life.
Yes, well, it wouldn't be the kind of life that appeals to you. But that's not the point. The point is that the objects are pleasant by nature.
Maybe in the future you can answer. Maybe in the future you can, after experience.
Well, every one of us has experienced it at some time in the past, but no memory. We've all experienced, according to the teachings, life in the higher realms and the lower realms. But fortunately for us, perhaps there's no memory of the previous experiences.
If when there's a tasting of pleasant tastes or the touching of softness, that moment, the pleasant feeling, it's a result of kusala karma, wholesome karma. And when there's painful feeling, experiencing hardness, for example, or the sickness you mentioned, this is a result of akusala karma. So you may not like the softness, you may have aversion to it, but usually there's clinging to pleasant objects. So if it is rebirth in a woeful plane, there's a lot more experiencing of akusala vipaka, unwholesome results. And if it's rebirth in a heavenly realm, there's a lot more experience of pleasant object.
Okay, in the any deva loka, heavenly planes, yeah. Is there teaching of dhamma? No dhamma? Somebody is teaching dhamma there?
To my understanding, that depends on whether the dhamma is still in existence or not.
Sukhati plane.
Oh, there's dhamma.
Yes, because this can be one plane.
It's okay. I don't
mind going. Because the objects are so pleasant and the life is so long, it's hard to see the impermanence of reality and the understand the suffering of conditioned dharmas. And this is why the Buddha taught in the human realm, because people can more readily understand the unsatisfactoriness of conditioned dharmas, because each khanda, each reality arises and falls away. It is dukkha, it is unsatisfactory, it's not worth clinging to. The visible object or the taste that seems so nice, it's gone immediately, so what's the use of clinging to it? So this is the truth of dukkha or unsatisfactoriness, because each reality, each khanda arises and falls away. So there's clinging all the time to that which is impermanent, and therefore it brings grief when we don't have what we want anymore. So it's harder to understand in the deva loka, where all the results are pleasant.
You are saying this is the best place to develop dhamma.
Always taught, each Buddha always teaches in the human realm, because here in the hell realm, where it's suffering all the time, so difficult, or the animal realm, no understanding that can communicate or develop. But in the human realm, possible to understand. So that's why it's called a very precious birth as a human.
Question. Asava. Asava. I do not understand. I cannot visualize asava, four kind of asavas. Why do we call these four elements as asava? Avijja and bhava and kama and mo. What's that? Adityatava. Why do we call this asava?
Okay. What jitta arises before seeing moment?
Moment.
Otherwise, we cannot understand asura. We have to understand citta one by one.
Chakra dwara.
Okay. Does it experience visible object?
It's already there. Visual object is already.
Can it see?
No, not yet. No seeing yet.
Can it be the result of karma?
No, it's kriya.
See, we have to learn word by word so many things to know. Even karma and vipaka is not enough. That's why if we listen to just one word at a time and understand it clearly, no doubt about anything. That's why seeing is the result or the cause, karma or vipaka. Seeing. Which?
Result or?
Yeah, it's a vipaka.
It's vipaka. And after that moment?
Two vipakas.
And after that?
Kriya.
Different from the first kriya before seeing?
Different, as far as I know.
There are different chittas?
Different chittas.
Which one is that which arises before seeing?
Before seeing? So it's adverting consciousness.
And after two vipakas, there must be kriya. And what is that? See, what is that? It's better than just remember the word, whether it is kriya or not. But the understanding is the best thing. That's why we should know that. Why do we call it that way?
Otapana? Otapana?
Yes. What is it?
It's kriya. It's combating.
It's the.
What is it? What does it do?
Combating the following kusala, whether it's. Aksara or aksara. No, determining. It doesn't make any sense because I write the determining, but it doesn't explain its function.
So it's not
its function is, it determines whether following chitta is aksara or aksara.
But it's not converting because the other one is converting.
That is adverting to a visual object. Here, potapana determining.
Can we say that it's time to give way for the for the seeing, for the asava of kilesa which has accumulated.
Oh, even at that time.
Without that citta, kilesa, the accumulation of all kilesa, cannot arise.
Oh.
So after the investigation, the kusala or akusala, kusala or akusala.
Oh, of course, it's akusala. I know that.
Do you know that?
Oh, 100% sure.
No, I mean, can anyone know that?
No.
And that is the meaning of asava.
Ah, it's a very subtle
environment. Yes, without Buddha, who knows?
Ah.
That's why another word for arahata is kinasava.
Ah.
No more asava.
Yeah.
All four.
Ah.
That's why the akusala can be classified by their nature. Which one is asava? Not all of them.
But here, asava, it's being out, something oozing out. You know? It's something
just like
very
you
dirty.
Touch the rubber tree, what comes out? Immediately. No one can stop its arising. It's time for kilesa to arise.
When I hear that something oozing out, I feel that it's associated with a very strong aksara, but in fact it's subtle aksara.
Which word?
The others. We've talked about many degrees of attachment, and we said that when it's upadana kanda, it's talking about strong attachment, not just the slight attachment when one looks at the yellow paper, but the strong attachment. But it's not strong enough, usually, for us. It's not strong enough to really do some bad deed that will bring result. But now we're talking about the very slight attachment, not even the little bit of liking to the yellow color, but even slighter than that. Like, just look up. Very slight attachment that's completely unknown immediately after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching. So it gives an idea how little is known.
As what? Just one. There are four. Just talk about one. What is that? No.
What about first of all, karma?
Karma, yeah.
Just one. What is it? Out of the four. Just one of the four.
Yeah.
What is the one? Anyone? Asawa. What are the four? Just talk about one
name
at
one.
A time.
Kam.
What is that?
Kam asawa.
To me, it's attachment.
To what?
In the case of eye doorways, it's attachment to a visual, given visual object.
What is calm?
It's calm, it means sensuous desire.
That which is pleasant object, or that which likes it?
Yeah, likes it.
Is Kam, nama rupa.
It has to be nama.
Is it nama khanda?
Must be.
One moment.
Chetasika, it has to be loba.
So now you are sure that everything which arises is khanda.
Oh.
Even it's very slight, unknown.
Oh.
But since it has a reason, it's a khanda.
Okay, in the case of karma or avijaya, we can say that they are chetasikaya. How about bhava? Bhava asava.
Let's come to karma first. Oh. How many karmas were? When we talk about karma and as asava, what does it mean? It must be different from other khanda. So this khanda karma itself is chetasika, and the object, sensuous object, kamasva. We live in the sensuous world. All five kama, which is experienced through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, are the object of attachment. So, we are born in the kama world, the world of objects, which is sensuous object. We like.
But the point is that they only function.
As soon as you look at this, you like it, no matter you know whether it is concept or reality,
yeah,
but
yeah,
like
yeah.
It's there. Can there be practice without understanding this?
Yeah. Think as practice. I never practice.
Good. So when people talk about practicing, what is it?
I do not do anything.
It's not understanding. It's doing, not understanding.
So what about
meditation center, doing or understanding? Than anything. They're just saying that the way to follow the Buddha's pattern is sitting or doing something.
Yeah.
No, nothing to do with right understanding at all. It cannot be the Buddha's path.
Kunsuji, I can say that Japan is a country of Buddhism. Then we have a history of 1500 years of practicing Buddhism. As far as I see, during 1500, there hasn't been even a single individual who had understood Buddhism, even single individual.
I think that all over the world, not only in Japan or in Thailand.
They are very well respected. They are scholars, or philosophers, or well-known monks. Or
once every wrong word destroys the right word.
Important point to understand is that the understanding that can develop to the degree that it is the direct understanding of the realities of life, it can only be developed by really carefully considering what the realities of life are now and considering over and over again to really be very clear and firm that there really are only namas and rupas, different khandhas arising and falling away, no self at all of any kind. Otherwise, whilst one still thinks that there is a self, or I can control, I can make certain experiences happen, one will always be looking for a method or a practice or a shortcut, or think that if one goes to the temple more often, or if one gives up one's work, or if one has more time to study, one will always be thinking about doing something. But what the Buddha taught is about the development of understanding of realities, beginning at this moment, no matter how one's life is, no matter one lives here or there, busy or not busy, whether cooking or working or sitting quietly, it's of no consequence whatsoever, because they're seeing now, the seeing in the forest, the city, seeing in Ho Chi Minh City, hearing now, hearing when one's busy, hearing any time. And if one has any idea that it should be another time, another place, another way, then one is following the wrong path. So what the Buddha taught is all about the understanding of life, realities at this moment. So don't think about following a practice or method, because it will for sure take one the wrong way, moving one further away from understanding life at this moment. And no matter the topic, whether it's karma or khanda or anything else, it's always about realities now.
Thank you so much. So we hear about, I think Tadao just mentioned about how over 1,500 years there was no single right teaching in Japan that we know of. So it's really a very precious opportunity, and we appreciate that very much. It's so rare in the world today. Yes. Unless, and as Ajahn said, not everyone, the Buddha's teaching is not for everyone. Yeah.
Suitable for everyone, but not everyone is able to understand it when hearing it.
Yes.
We can share and help according to our little understanding, but without expectations. If we think that our friends or our family or everyone should appreciate it as we do, then the problem is not with them, the problem is our expectation. So just share or do good, but not expecting any results.